If you would join me with our prayer for understanding of God's Word. Lord God, Good Shepherd, by the leading of your Spirit, help us to listen for your voice and follow in your paths all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I really enjoy being the liturgist for this church. I look forward to it. But some days you've got to be a little bit nervous when it's about 11:15 and you're standing right here and Pastor Neil has already insinuated three other people could give the sermon. I'm not ready for that. Our scripture today is one of the very most popular. It is the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. The word of the God for the people of God.
Thank my brother in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. Join with me in prayer. We thank you, Lord, for this day, your word, indeed how you continue to speak, move, enliven us. Thank you for all those wonderful gifts of love. And we pray it all in the name of Christ, our risen Savior. Amen. You know, you learn the pecking order rather quickly whenever you are serving as the pastor of a small country church. You know what a pecking order is? Where you are in the order of things. And I learned this one Sunday. It was a beautiful communication directly from God as I was driving to the church out in rural West Ohio. In fact, the church was literally in a cornfield, Rum Creek United Methodist Church. They celebrated 150 years, I kid you not, last year. I couldn't go back, but I sent a letter, because what a privilege it is to be even connected with that church. Some of the best people you'll ever want to meet in your entire life. All good things. And yet I was driving to church, and all of a sudden, there was a herd of sheep in front of me on the road. Has anybody come upon a herd of sheep on the road? They weren't going to move, so guess who needed to find another way to church? Thank goodness the roads there are in a grid, so all it required was me to back up and find another way around, and I did finally make it to church. But thinking about that flock of sheep helped me to remember that we are part of a flock. We are a family, certainly, and we are the body of Christ. The brothers and sisters in Christ that we encounter in our journey of faith are reminders of God's grace, but it also reminds us that none of them are our leaders. God is. God is. I wasn't going to get out of my car and try to lead that flock off the road. I stayed in the car. In fact, I might have even locked the door. Who knows? But we understand once again this morning who our leader is. And this is a theme. This is a theme that that idea of shepherding, that idea of someone being our leader, someone that we are called to follow. This is not new in Scripture. And in fact, it's mentioned quite rapidly in the scriptures right after this particular passage that our brother read this morning. In Psalm 25, he read the 23rd Psalm. Psalm 25, it says this, "Make me to know your paths, O Lord." Leading us. "Teach me your paths." There's an openness on the part of the psalmist. "Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long." That's a particularly poignant passage, isn't it? If you've ever waited for an answer to prayer. Have you ever had to wait for an answer to prayer? Didn't come in your time, in your season, and yet God continues to hear, know us, and love us more than we can imagine. So that whole idea of, "For you I wait all day long," it's good to wait on God. "Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old." This psalm is so familiar and creates so many images in our own mind that I'd like to focus in particular on two parts of it. Two parts: love and mercy. This idea of God's love, this reality of God's love is something that reminds us goodness is also at work in our lives. "Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Okay. Sorry if I start quoting the 23rd Psalm and I quote the King James Version, it's just the one I have memorized. It just kind of comes out, you know. It just becomes kind of part of our fabric, you know, of who we are, how we're stitched together, how we're made. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. But surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Goodness and mercy. Goodness is that quality or that characteristic of God that is at work ahead of us. John Wesley would call this prevenient grace. Grace that is at work before we're paying attention. Things that are happening before we are aware of them. God's fingerprints all over our lives before we even notice. That is God's goodness. It goes ahead of us. Now, the tricky part of this is, does that mean that everything's going to be fine on the road ahead? No. But what it does mean, that when everything isn't fine on the road ahead, whenever we hear jarring news, whenever we hear something that just absolutely shakes us to the core, whenever we're afraid, whenever we're uncertain, whenever we're feeling broken, guess whose goodness is already with us? You can say it, kids. Okay, you knew the answer. I call you kids because you're God's kids, right? I mean, that's... And you can say the rest of the day now, "Hey, the pastor called me a kid." God's goodness is there. God's goodness is there. But that's not where it stops in the Psalms. Goodness and mercy. Mercy is what follows us. God's mercy is what is at work not only in the journey, but behind us. And there's an illustration that I absolutely love in describing how God's mercy works in our lives. There is a particular amusement park in the Midwest where the grounds crew, the street sweepers, all of those individuals that are cleanup are dressed in formal clothing. You imagine it? Okay, street sweepers in tuxes. Okay? The men in tuxedos with tails and the women with long flowing formal gowns at an amusement park. And they're the ones that do the cleanup. Their simple task was to clean up behind the guests who threw garbage on the park grounds. They walked the streets with such extravagance just to clean up behind inconsiderate and thoughtless guests. Always smiling, always dressed impeccably. After a while, a guest was so embarrassed to have such nobility picking up behind them. Can you imagine? You might think before you throw out whatever it is, whenever you see a guy coming up behind you in tux or a woman coming up in a gown to sweep up after you, smiling at you the whole time. And maybe that's the time that the first utterance of God loves you and I'm trying broke out in somebody's heart and mind and soul. This continues. This is what God does for us. Not with grudge or spite. This God that we have, that we follow, our leader, extravagantly picks up behind us and follows us. Isn't that amazing? God's mercy acts in that way in our lives, picking up after us, after the mess that we make. Whenever we make a mistake, whenever we utter the thing that should not be said, whenever we hurt someone, whenever we're selfish, whenever we inflict the pain that we carry on someone else, when we recognize it and humbly say, Lord, help me, guess what is already at work? That mercy. God picking up after us. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. It kind of fleshes that out a little bit more now, doesn't it? The 23rd Psalm is, again, one of those scripture passages, as our brother in Christ said, that is so familiar that we say it by rote sometimes. Just kind of like the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That is inspiring whenever I hear that. It really is. I want a recording of that whenever I go to sleep every night, and it'll just help me to doze off. For us, these words are words of life and life-giving and hope and love and renewal and resurrection. Remember, folks, we are still in the season of Easter, but more so, we are still Easter people. People of the risen Christ. People of the resurrected Savior. And Jesus, whenever he read these words of the psalm, because he probably would have read these as well, reading these words, thinking about his Heavenly Father, our namesake, we read these words also and think about our Heavenly Father, our Creator, the source of goodness, the source of mercy, our source that we follow and are called to follow each and every day of our lives. You know, this idea of God before us in goodness and behind us, following us in mercy, reminds me of a prayer that also places Christ all around us. Okay? This prayer reminds us that Jesus is all around us. And it's part of St. Patrick's breastplate prayer. I don't know if you've ever heard St. Patrick's or read St. Patrick's breastplate prayer, but whenever you hear these words, they may be familiar. And it reminds us of the intimacy of Christ in our lives. This is a wonderful prayer to offer as well, each and every day. Christ be with me. Christ within me. Christ beside me. Christ before me. Christ beside me. Christ to win me. Christ to comfort and restore me. Christ beneath me. Christ above me. Christ in quiet. Christ in danger. Christ in hearts of all that love me. Christ in mouth of friend and stranger. Christ, you see, as we take on his name as our own, now is in all those places, isn't he? Because whenever people see us, our call is that they see Jesus. And to help us with doing that very thing, the psalmist reminds us this morning that God's goodness and mercy, before and after, are there on our journey each and every step of the way. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? As people of Easter faith, as people of the resurrected one, as people of the Good Shepherd, as people of a loving God, that we have such a wonderful leader in our journey. Join with me in prayer. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for searching us, searching for us, and finding us as our shepherd. Thank you for our namesake, Jesus, who is in and through us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that strengthens us. And thank you, Lord, for your love in and through and above, and beneath and beside it all. It's in the name of our Savior, Jesus, that we pray. Amen.